And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM. We've been bringing you continuing coverage of the crisis in Gaza. The latest Israeli incursion is as bad as we thought it would be. And that's why, you know, we started reporting on the devastation last week, speaking with Ehab Lotaya from Gaza's Ark. And we have an update on that as well. Right now, I'm joined by Sabine Kazmi, the incoming president of McMaster Muslims for Peace and Justice. So thanks for joining us today, Sabine.
Thank you for having me.
Sabine is also someone who's familiar to organizing and activism in the area. There has been continuing activities on this campus here at McMaster about Israel Apartheid Week, about the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement. There's actually every season, every semester, there's some big event that people want to see and want to go to, and we've been involved in promoting those, and we've been part of organizing that. So the word has been getting out about Palestine, and it couldn't be any sooner because, you know, this is another attack that's turning into another cast lead or something of that nature. I mean, you've probably gotten as many emails as I have and as any activist would, as well as seeing what's happening on the web and through the videos we're getting. It seems to me that it's a pretty indiscriminate bombardment, or at least Israel gets to just sort of pick and choose whatever it wants to blow up. I mean, you're getting the sense, too, that a lot of people are in danger, right?
Oh, yes, for sure. Just given by the fact that almost 80% of the individuals who have lost their lives due to this attack have been civilians. And that's really problematic and worrisome.
Yes, I noticed some figures as well. There's been a lot of attention given to the Hamas rockets, right? So in CBC, yes, if they talk about it, they got to talk about the Hamas rockets. And this apparently is, you know, the cause of why Israel has to go in there and flatten everything. But you know, people have been compiling this on places like Electric Intifada and Mondo Weiss, and these rocket attacks are an unpleasant thing. They killed 28 Israelis since 2001, if the figures are correct from the web. Now, over that same period of time, there have been thousands of Palestinians killed and thousands upon injured. There's a huge disparity in terms of the force that each side is able to apply and ends up applying. And there's no Iron Dome, you know, missile defense system in Palestine.
Certainly, yes. I think a lot of people overlook the fact that when there are rockets that are launched from Gaza, they usually get a 58-second warning, as opposed to when the Gaza Strip is being bombed, usually they get warned by a smaller bomb. And well, you can imagine how traumatic that might be, and especially because even if they are warned, they have no places to go, unlike the Israeli side, where they do have those temporary shelters where they can go to protect themselves. And that's also demonstrated in the casualties on both sides. Almost 1,500 individuals have been injured as a direct result of these bombings, and you don't see that on the other side.
No, I think what you're referring to is what might be called those door knockings, or when Israel says, well, you know, we're providing warning because we hit the house with a smaller bomb before mm-hmm. we hit it with a large bomb that completely destroys it. I think, number one, we know that there are families, civilian families involved in these door knockings. So how do you get out your house with your baby and your belongings in 3 minutes? There's not a lot you can take. You run down, you get the kid, and you get out if you're lucky. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're not going to bring your family's dresser that's been there for 100 years. You're not going to, you know, no, you're out of there, and then boom. That's number one. Number two, that puts pressure on everyone in Gaza, because you got to be thinking, is there going to be a door knock for me? Is there someone going to hit my roof with a mortar mm-hmm. and then we're going to be dead in 3 minutes? So everyone's got to be listening, because, you know, there could be a thump and then in 3 minutes you're dead. So it doesn't just affect the people, you know, that have been immediately have their houses blown up. But of course, everyone now has to worry that they might be next, you know, who's going to knock on their door. And we're really tired of this. We're tired of just watching, you know, Palestinians being trapped and shot at and bombed with impunity, with the United States flying over the latest weapons, the finest defense products that it can whenever Israel wants them. It's coming out of U.S. tax dollars, and a lot of Canadian politicians are providing cover for this as well. But as we pointed out last week, the movement against this outrage is growing, not just in Canada, but worldwide. And, you know, we saw it a little earlier than Canada in the U.K., where the movement was somewhat bigger at first. We've been catching up in Canada with the rest of the world. And there's been a large demonstrations already in Canada and in Toronto. I heard there was more than 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was 1,200 or so.
It was a very good turnout. And also, you also see it in schools as well, right? There's a lot of academic boycotts that are also happening. And I think it is really demonstrative of the fact that students are starting to take action against these I guess.
Yeah, and there's so much discussion about it, too. So much discussion. What's the best strategy for boycott, divestment, sanctions? What about one state versus two state solution? Because this has become an agenda item for more and more people because they don't want to turn on their TV and see, oh, here's another. Oh, Israel just killed four kids. It shelled this. No, we're tired of seeing that. We don't want to see it anymore. We want to have a democratic solution. There's arguments that have happened on this program or here at McMaster. There's been formal debates and informal debates about what to do. But the key issue is we have to look at the occupation. We have to look at the core issue that's causing this. And that is what these protests here are bringing attention to. So I know, first of all, that there's one in Hamilton, and, you know, there's a number of groups that got together to put this together, and essentially it has attracted more interest than initially expected, I think. How many people are following this on the Facebook page?
Right now we have we're approximating 900 people will be attending. It's also happening this Saturday at 1 p.m. At the Hamilton City Hall. And, yeah, some of the sponsors of this protest or Palestinian Association of Hamilton, as well as Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. We also have a lot of McMaster-based clubs that are also endorsing it and supporting it. And they're also encouraging a lot of their own club members to come out to this. I think the activists within Hamilton and McMaster have really been supportive of it, and it shows in the number that are going to be attending.
Well, yes, of course, the numbers on Facebook are sometimes higher than what happens in there, but if you get half of that, we're doing very well. It'll be one of the larger demonstrations that we've had. I had heard 700 at last count, but that's great. I mean, not everyone is even on Facebook, but to have all that interest. You know, there's a lot of organizers that have been doing this for a while, but sometimes you can get a bit tired. You know, I know some of the most experienced organizers from the Palestinian Association say, oh, here we go again, and you know, is the world going to do anything? Well, people that I know are being slaughtered, and it can be very demoralizing for them. But then on the other hand, you have all these new people that had not been part of the struggle before, and people from all sorts of quarters and places we hadn't thought about. And now you, as you point out, you have on campus SPHR, you have McMaster Muslims for Peace and Justice. And there's other groups as well, and they're all doing things. And we have incoming executives. We've spoken to some of these people. It's interesting. How did you manage to get involved in this? I mean, do you come to McMaster and think, well, what kind of groups am I going to be involved in? Or do you just hear about it? Or do you just get angry at seeing the latest Israeli bombing and think, who's protesting this, right?
I think it's a combination of all of those things. Like, for example, I started into the activism community, and there's a lot of different issues that I personally advocate for. And this happens to be one of those many issues that I think need my immediate attention. So that's kind of how I think anyone who has enough knowledge about it would know that what's happening is wrong and would want to side with Palestine and, like, I guess, organize to bring attention to this very important issue.
Yes, it's important that people recognize just how wide open this movement is these days. Well, I know you've got a run at the moment, Sabine, but thanks very much. People can follow this on Facebook. What's the title of the event?
So we do have the protest. It's for Hamilton, stands up for Gaza. So we're having the protest on Saturday. So hopefully everyone can come out for that.
Okay, so Hamilton stands up for Gaza. Okay,
thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. That was Sabine Kazmi, and she's incoming president of McMaster Muslims for Peace and Justice. And now we're very happy to be joined as well by Yara Shufani, incoming president of Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights. Yara, I mean, we spoke with you before about the BDS. I'd love to update about that at some point in time. We're a little short on time. We should be focusing on the situation in Gaza at the moment. Sabine and I were talking about the door knockers, you know, the Israel giving 3 minutes of warning and by hitting them with a smaller attack and then blowing up houses. And I mean, it seems very scary to be an ordinary civilian in Gaza right now. One of the things I was thinking about was, and Sabine noticed this too, they hit a hospital with five missiles the other day.
Right. And I mean, they were talking about how I think they were activists from Switzerland, if I'm not mistaken, that were actually sitting in the hospital trying to, or hoping that their presence in the hospital would deter Israel from, you know, attacking the hospital. And there were, I think from what I saw in the interviews, there was two activists that were sitting in the hospital and they were talking on air about how they hope that Israel will not attack the hospital because there is international presence apparent.
Yes, you know, people hope that the presence of foreign observers will cause Israel to curb its activities somewhat, and it does, but it's not foolproof. As a number of people, we know people who have been shot at right from this area who have gone as international observers. And of course, there's the time that Israel bombed a UN observation post that killed one Canadian soldier as well as three other UN personnel. You know, it goes all the way back to the USS Liberty. I mean, you can be an observer from North America or from Europe, and you can put some light into that darkness there, but it's very dangerous for all involved, whether you are a Palestinian or a solidarity activist from abroad. Now, we're all seeing a repeat of some of the actions that we've seen in the past, the 2012 bombings, the caste-led type situation, the same justifications are coming from the Israeli government. I'm wondering if anything has changed on the international scene. In terms of the United Nations or any of these other bodies, is anyone doing anything differently or doing anything about the current attack?
I mean, it seems to be pretty much the same. I mean, as usual, the UN condemns both sides, and they encourage UN, along with Amnesty International, have released statements trying to encourage Israel to stop attacking Gaza, but at the same time encouraging Hamas to also stop as well. So all international organizations, or for the most part, most of them, seem to be taking the usual role that they taking the usual stand, which is that this is somehow an even playing field, a war between two sides, and encouraging both sides to start a ceasefire, as opposed to acknowledging what this really is, which is, you know, one of the strongest militaries in the world attacking a small strip of land that's completely blockaded from the rest of the world.
I wouldn't get completely bleak yet, though, of course, because there have been some stirrings from parts of European or other governments where some members of parliament are saying, you know, what are we doing? We have to condemn this. There's been some angry letters sent from high officials. So there is some movement on the issue, although it could be a lot better, as you point out. And I think, you know, Sabine was pointing out in terms of the negotiations, she told me just before the interview, any organization in Palestine, whether it be Hamas or other bodies, are under a lot of pressure because the borders are cut off. So they're in that situation now where they're not even getting that trickle of humanitarian aid that they were in the past. And they're trying to come up with agreements that are going to help them out there. And they can't get that. And I know there's been trouble with the recent negotiations. You know, we've got that action on Saturday, and it may be large, as Sabine pointed out. But what I was wondering is, you know, can we only respond in a big way when something really bad is happening to Palestine? Okay, obviously you turn on your TV, and if, you know, you're tuned into the right channels, you can actually see what's happening in Gaza, and it's very bad. I mean, it's very scary, but this gets people motivated to say, hey, enough with this. Israel has to stop. But what about when they're not directly attacking with F-16s and stuff? I mean, is this the only time we can mobilize people, or what could be done or should be done, you know, to draw attention to the sort of general everyday suffering of Palestinians?
Right. Well, I think, I mean, it's really good that you mentioned that, because I think part of the problem is that when Gaza is being attacked, we tend to see a lot of people that are, you know, mobilizing and protesting. But then a lot of other times when the violence doesn't seem or isn't as much in our faces, we kind of relax and don't do as much. But I mean, a lot of people all throughout the year, group organizations like SBTAR, MMPJ, and, you know, many other organizations are constantly pushing to raise awareness about what's happening, about just the brutality of the occupation, whether that be attacks on Gaza or just the everyday checkpoints and the apartheid wall and all of these things. So raising awareness is one of the main things. BDS is another thing, which has been getting a lot of gains in the media and in campuses. So BDS is something that we can do all year round, and to try to put pressure on our government and as well as the Israeli government to change what it's doing.
Yes. I think this kind of reminds me of the South Africa situation back in the 80s, because it wasn't just one or two or three large events that brought attention to apartheid, but it was a constant struggle, really. And people were boycotting grapes and other South African products. There were touring speakers like Nelson Mandela and others. Of course, Mandela is a big supporter of the Palestinian cause.
Yes.
And I mean, even Noam Chomsky came out recently to say that we shouldn't compare Israel directly to South Africa, because it seems that Israel is worse in its occupation, that there's fewer options for people in places like Gaza. There's a lot of constraints, and it seems that the Israeli plan is to expand and remove a lot of this population, whereas in South Africa, they wanted to exploit and keep that population. So in some ways, the Palestinians are in more danger than black South Africans. You know, at least that's Chomsky's argument. Certainly Gaza is a deadly preview of what could happen to everyone. I noticed that with, again, the talk of the rockets, there was another article today. I think, there was a British labor union alliance called Unite. And, you know, they had a statement about how there will be no peace and no justice unless the root causes of the conflict are addressed. And you can look this up. But they also said this conflict is not about rockets from Gaza. You know, that's not what's triggering this. And what if Gaza stopped shooting rockets? What if they just dumped them all into the sea? They pointed out these rockets have not been coming from the West Bank, but the West Bank is clamped down upon as well. So we're dealing with a crisis of an extremely unbalanced so-called conflict that's really an occupation, and which Israel can come in and do whatever it wants, whenever it wants. And it's really only international pressure and media putting attention to these kind of things that can get them to slow down in some ways.
Right. And there's a really good article online. I believe it's called Dissecting IDF Propaganda. And it talks strictly about Hamas's rockets and how the dangers that they pose are actually not significant at all. And it shows tons of different, has a lot of statistics and shows all these different, numbers in the past, I think covers the past 8 years, about the dangers or the casualties that Hamas's rockets have impacted on Israel. And you see through reading this article that, well, you know, the dangers of Hamas's rockets are not as much as the media would have us or the Israeli government would have us feel that they are. So I think that the idea of the Hamas rockets, that's just something that's a counter argument that's used to try to deter us from the root of the problem.
Well, it seems that the rockets are almost making a political point rather than any sort of military thing, because many of them get shot down, and many of them don't have warheads or explosives. They're just made in a garage and launched. It's nothing like the sort of precision guided attacks where Israel can hit a hospital with 5 missiles or things like that. You know, it's almost time to go, but we do have this event, of course, on Saturday, and it does seem to have attracted a lot of attention, a lot of energy. First of all, what time is it at? Because that's something that can get mixed up on.
Right. So the event actually starts at 1 o'clock, and it is at the City Hall in Hamilton. And I mean, we're expecting a lot of people to come out. We have about 1,000 people confirmed on the Facebook page, which, I mean, you know, we'd love to see numbers like that come out to the event. And, I mean, yeah, anybody who's in the area, I would really, really encourage you to come. And even if you're not in this particular area, but, you know, you're in Toronto or anywhere nearby, have a look and see what events are happening in your area, because protests have been for the past week, been going on all over the world. With this event in particular, it's actually being sponsored by the Palestinian Association of Hamilton and the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. So they're putting a lot of effort in organizing this, and I mean, it's going to be a great turnout.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to go to the Toronto one, but it takes us longer to get there and back than the protest actually takes place. So we said, let's do one in Hamilton. A lot of people agreed, because we can't all go out to Toronto all the time. It was a great protest they had. We'll have one too. So, you know, let's get hundreds of people out there. It was going to be somewhere else, but we thought that if more than 100 people showed up, they wouldn't fit in that confined space. So it is at City Hall, right?
And yes.
That's because there could be, you know, hundreds potentially there. So that's very exciting, and that is very inspiring. And hopefully we're setting an example that the rest of the world can follow, because people see these demonstrations in other countries. They see the demonstrations in France or in the United Kingdom, and they say, why aren't we doing this here? Why can't we show support for Palestinians? Why can't we put pressure on Israel to end this lopsided bombardment that, as usual, is killing 10, 20 Palestinians or however many Israelis are killed in this case? It's probably even a larger disparity. It's, you know, this is not a war. It's a slaughter. It's time for this to stop. Someone has to put Israel's actions in check. If Israel won't, the United Nations should be allowed to do its job. In any case, that's going to be this Saturday.
Yes, this Saturday.
At 1 o'clock p.m., Hamilton City Hall. And that Facebook group is available. It'll go up on the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War website and other places like that, too. There's print ads and stuff like that. So you'll be able to find information about that. Otherwise, yes, Gaza's Ark. Just go to GazaArk.org, because there's been an unfortunate situation. The Gaza's Ark has been torched. We don't have time to discuss that today, but it may be mentioned at the upcoming demonstration as well. So Gaza Arc is a project that has a Canadian component in there, and very alarming updates on that situation. In any case, that's it for this week. So I wanted to thank Yara. Thanks very much. I know that it's a busy schedule today. You had to rush in here fortunately, it's a fluid situation that we're accustomed to. So Sabine hands it over to you, and we're all very happy to move things along. So thanks again for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me.